been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win.
Welcome to the Shrimp Tank Podcast, broadcasting live from the Chamber of Commerce. We're sitting in here in this gorgeous room looking out over the lake on a beautiful day. Our guest today, special guest, Carrie Attar of the Fielding Culinary Group. How's it going, Carrie?
Really good. Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. Yeah, we had a chance to sit in here and chat, and it's going to be a great show. We're going to talk about your journey as an entrepreneur, your personal journey, and what you've gone through on that. And then Royce Brooks is my co-host today. What's up, Royce?
Hey, how you doing, Daniel?
Yeah, good. Those of you know that Royce, maybe you know, maybe you don't know, but he had a little broadcasting stint when in college?
Right after college when I had a little mobile disc jockey business, yes.
Yeah, you had a handle. It was something like, Rock and Rolls Royce.
So. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah, we got him on the show. We're thankful to have you on the show today, Royce. And before we kind of jump in, why don't you give us a little update of what's going on, what's new at the Chamber?
Well, we've always got something going on. We had our Economic Outlook Conference in January. Last month we had our Taste of the Town. We just had our day at the Capitol this week, and in a couple of weeks, we're going to have the Health, Wellness, and Fitness Expo at Market Street. So then we take a deep breath for a couple of days and get going all over again.
Yeah, that's fabulous. So we're delighted to be here today in the Chamber of Commerce. And then also I want to give a little shout out to the faculty at Sam Houston State University, in particular in the Entrepreneurship Degree Program, Jamie Collins, Chip Matthews, Dr. John Newbold, and Mitchell Musam, the Dean of the College of Business. We're really jazzed that you guys had the brain trust to come together with the idea of the Entrepreneurship Degree Program. I'll give you guys a little nugget of success that came from that. We had a student on one of our shows recently that Dr. Newbold brought in. His name was Blaine Lynn. He's a kid that's in the degree program, and he's got an idea about starting up an app business. Has to something to do with parking around the university. And he asked me about it, and I said, I don't know anything about that business, really. We're into other things. And I said, I know somebody who does. So my friend Mark Bergsrud, shout out to Mark, has graciously agreed to meet and talk and perhaps offer some mentorship to Blaine Lynn. They have a app called Grab. So I'll plug his app right now. Grab is an app that you can download. I think it's free, and it's all of the information on all the airports, in particular the restaurants. I think you can order food and all of the stops at all the different airports across the country. So if you travel a good deal, I think all of the business travelers have that Grab app. So Grab app.
Easy to remember.
Anyway, so the Shrimp Tank Podcast is the show where we interview Houston's best and brightest entrepreneurs. I got to say, Carrie Attar fits that group because I've been to his restaurant. Actually, I've been to one of your restaurants. I have a meeting with a friend, Carl Looning. We're meeting next week. We already set that. But the Fielding's Culinary Group has two facilities in the Woodlands. I want to just talk about entrepreneurship in the Woodlands. Carrie, I guess you could have really set up your company, as an entrepreneur. You take big risk. You put investment capital out there. Mm-hmm. Why'd you pick the Woodlands?
The Woodlands is a unique community, and it's close to 45. It's got lots of headquarters located here, and ever since George Mitchell started the facility, I think it's back in 74, it's just been a great place for not only me but for lots of people to come. And so I think there's a great cross cut of businesses and people and residential, and it's there's a socialist writer. He wasn't a socialist. He wrote about social matters called Kunstler, and he talked about living and working in the same community. Mm-hmm. And I think the Woodlands is like that, and it's provided me lots of opportunities to grow and build a business here with a pretty good base of guests, customers, and a strong workforce.
And you're seeing it, Royce. I mean, you're smack dab. You work belly to belly with a couple of thousand businesses here at the Chamber weekly. I guess that you're talking about that constantly.
Yeah, we have. There's over 200 restaurants in the Woodlands.
And I'm very aware of that.
And you have
and
two
more
of them
coming.
Yeah, and it's the number one business that opens up in the Woodlands, and it's the number one business that fails in the Woodlands. So you know, kudos to you. You've been in the one about 5 years now, I think.
Mm-hmm. 4 years.
4 years, and the other one's been open almost 2 years.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they're both doing well. Mm-hmm. The great food, still have the great service that you had when you opened up.
Thank you. And another one coming up in middle of this year.
Mm. You going to give us a scoop on where it's going to be?
Yeah, let us do tell.
Sure. Fielding's Rooster, a new concept coming to the Woodlands. First new best at the corner of research and technology. It's going to be a concept built around free-range, all-natural, and pasture-raised chickens and a variety of cooking methods and presentations. Small, intimate restaurant so we can get to visit all the guests. It'll be, a lot of repurposed materials. Same executive culinary director, Alberto Gonsalves, who we've worked together since 2004, and full bar, and should be really great. And, of course, we'll have our famous iPad bar in there also, so people really love that.
Well, let's dive into that. You know, Royce hit on an important thing. He said, you know, it's the number one business, but it's the number one business that fails. I believe in my heart that any really good business is also a very competitive business.
Sure.
And you talked about, you mentioned the term concept. I think it's largely your concept that's got a lot to do with the success because that brings about some differentiation. So when you're, you know, do you like got a little dark room somewhere you go sit down and you dream up these concepts? Because, you know, Fielding's, you go in there, you know, it's a different kind of place right away. Where's this creativity come from?
Sure. That's you hit it right on the head, Daniel. Really, having a great concept is super important and is as important as having a great concept. There are three supports to that concept. And one of them is having great food and service. One of them is having an unbelievable space. And then the last one's having passion and soul to drive that business. And ultimately, as Royce pointed out, a lot of restaurants fail. And those people fail because they probably shouldn't have gone into the restaurant business. It's like any other business. It's not a luxurious business and it's not a sexy business. It's not. It's a lot of blocking and tackling and P&L and balance sheet and cash flow statement. And it's a very demanding business. You cannot be an absentee leader. You have to be present. And so your question was, how do you come up with the concepts? And I have a great team of people around me, and we have a lot of bad ideas, and occasionally we have a good idea, and we try to harvest those good ideas and try to avoid the bad ones.
So it sounds like there's some collaboration involved. It's, you know, it's not like you're just king guy with all the ideas. You collaborate with some people that are trusted advisors.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. I've got some people I've known for years and years and years that I've worked with. My chef, Alberto Gonsalves, has been a key focal point. I've got another
shout out to Alberto.
That's right. He's an amazing guy. And then there's a guy named Matt Kotis, who's a co-founder of the company. And I've got a great board. And sometimes, you know, a little nugget of wisdom is right in front of you, and someone will say something to you, and it'll come to you. But for sure, I learned a long time ago, it takes a whole lot of people to have a successful business. There may be ones out there. And as Roy said, it is a super competitive business, you know, and so you got to harvest everything you can from everyone you can to move the needle every day.
And by the way, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Shrimp Tank Podcast, where we interview Houston's best and brightest entrepreneurs. We're here in the studio today with Kerry Attar of the Fielding's Culinary Group. Don't forget, you'll be able to download a complete replay of his show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com, and all of the shows now will be archived on iTunes. So I think that one of the things I just heard was that not everybody's cut out for this. And so today in our show, we're probably going to talk about some of the hard work and the sacrifices that are made. I doubt the success is all the success story for you and any other successful entrepreneurs. It's not a story of all sunshine and rainbows. Oftentimes, it's a story of heartache, setback, blood, sweat, tears.
Oh, man, you have that. You have no idea how true that is.
Yeah.
I mean, every day is, first of all, it's a fight every day, right? And in the Woodlands, in the last 3 years, we doubled the amount of restaurant seats. And, you know, we were able to grow our company on the top line and the bottom line. And everybody thinks they can be in the restaurant business. And I would tell you, with respect to the word, that you better be paranoid and not rest on your laurels and go get it every single day. The Woodlands also is a super demanding population. And you have to meet their needs and expectations, because they may come to you and say, hey, you missed the mark, and they'll do that. But a lot of people will just quietly go away.
Most people, I would say, if they don't like something, they'll just disappear, and, right. and they're more likely to say something negative than they are positive, human nature. Yeah.
And then when I was coming up, you know, the old adage was, if you missed on a guest experience, they would tell, a guest would tell 10 guests. Now we have the power of Facebook.
Oh my gosh, magnified Twitter. Tenfold, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hundredfold.
I mean, you know, everybody's got 1,000 friends. And there's a guy named Danny Meyer, who's a very famous restaurateur. And, you know, I mean, the world can comment on your work. You best have a thick skin in the restaurant business, you know.
Right.
And they can be right or wrong. It doesn't matter, because everyone has a bully pulpit with social media. And I would like you to do everything you can to control social media going forward.
Yeah, right.
and good luck with that, Dan. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, good luck.
So if we have maybe a young aspiring entrepreneur listening sure. to the show, and they're thinking about, you know, I'd like to have a restaurant. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm excited. I watch Food Network all the time.
Sure.
You know, man, Bobby Flay's got me all jacked up and all of that. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to go do this. What sort of admonishment or encouragement or what sort of advice might you give somebody who's thinking along those lines?
Sure. So that's a great question. And I think the restaurant business is a great business and has really turned into, for many people, a profession. And that is a trend that needs to continue in the United States. I think first you can't just jump into the restaurant business. You have to go learn the business. And it's like any business, right? You can't just jump in and say, okay, I have access to capital. I'm going to go build a restaurant. You got to go work for somebody or try to work for 5 or 10 different people. I know I worked for probably 20 different people before I started my first business. And, you know, don't just get experience in the kitchen or as a waiter. Make sure you get experience as a manager and make sure you get experience as a business person, understanding how that balance sheet and cash flow statement work.
A question for you there, Kerry. You've got 2 locations,
mm-hmm.
and obviously you can't be in 2 places at once,
mm-hmm.
and you're not going to work 24/7 at either location. How do you get a management team mm-hmm. that treats these restaurants like it's their own?
Right. That's the key, right? That's not only my business, that's every business, finding rock stars.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily mean you have to perform as a rock star every day. Someone who's consistent. We work really hard at that. We interview constantly for people. We're constantly looking for new, better, brighter. And we have a series of programs that we put people through. We have a multi-tier interview process. And having said all that, I would say we're right probably 75% of the time.
So when you're wrong, what do you do?
Well, you know, we reposition people for success in an alternative business.
There you go.
That's a translation. You're fired, right? To quote
Donald Trump.
Yeah, we don't. I tell you, it's hard to get fired. You have to really fire yourself mm-hmm. with us. You know.
Sometimes the best thing you can do for someone is release them to the universe. You know,
right?
Or refer them to your competition.
That's right.
You know, going back to the fierce competition, and oftentimes you're doing someone a big favor. So, listen, is there any way, you know, I know in most businesses there's consultants that all sorts of practice management consultants.
Sure.
Is there anybody or any resources that you have available to you, Kerry, just to kind of help you as an entrepreneur, help you as a restaurant business owner, mm-hmm. anything like that you rely on, or is it all just smarts developed over time?
So there are consultants in the restaurant business, and I stay away from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I cut my teeth in the restaurant business starting at 14 years of age. My chef started at 14 or 15 years of age. And we travel to restaurants and we network with other people. I think consultants are great. You know, we have a very good understanding of the nuts and bolts of our business. Now, would we use a tax consultant? Absolutely. You know, do we use design consultants? Sure. Half the issue in the restaurant business when restaurants have problems is that restaurateurs are megalomaniacs. They think they know everything and they've got to listen to their guests. I mean, I know I have moments when I think I know all, and those go away quickly when the guest resets my bar.
Right. So producer is telling me we need to run to a commercial break. We're going to get into a couple of interesting topics. I think today we're going to hit on our hot or not section, where we're going to try to pepper you with some questions and trip you up a little bit. Just to make it a little fun.
Come on now, let's go.
Don't forget, you can catch our show every Thursday. You can download a complete replay of the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin. Joining me in the studio today is my co-host, Royce Brooks, and our special guest, Carrie Attar of Fielding's Culinary Group. Don't forget, you're going to be able to download a complete replay of Carrie's show on iTunes. So we've got a little section here that we call our hot or not section. And so Royce and I are going to just kind of give you a little rapid fire and maybe float a few things past you and ask you how you feel. I'll start off, then you can go, Royce. How do you feel about hiring family members, hot or not?
I hire family members.
That can be a touchy one, yeah.
It can be, but we do it.
You do it.
Okay. Oh, wait, I don't hire my own family, you know. Having said that, I take that back because I've hired Hudson and Veronica, both my kids. And so the answer is yes, I hire family.
Yep. I hired my son. It didn't work out. He wanted to go back to college. I said, that's fine. So, yeah.
And sometimes that works out. It actually helps them.
But let me tell you, my son didn't want to work for me. He came back to me and said, Dad, you asked for too much.
Well, we are not surprised to hear that, Carrie, but I wouldn't think anything else.
Yeah.
Business plan, hot or not?
Absolutely. Must have.
You run it off a business plan. Yep. I want to follow up on that. Now, do you run off of any particular, what's called key performance indicators?
You bet, KPIs all day long, brother.
All day long. And have you have some technologies to create a dashboard for you on those numbers?
We do.
I really like to hear the sound of that because, you know what, that's forward thinking. You know, if you're trying to run a business off P&L and balance sheet and everything's looking in the rearview mirror, it's your KPIs that help you know your understanding, help you make better business decisions.
You bet.
And that's really having the finger on the pulse of your business. Because I get it. You got a great burger and a great concept,
sure,
and cool place and all of that. But if you don't know all these other numbers, labor, employees, taxes, all this other stuff, it can really knock you off. So advertising, hot or not?
Not.
Been there, done that, tried that.
Marketing, yes. Advertising, no.
Yeah, in the traditional sense, a lot of people want to take your money for advertising, right?
You know, I think it's a double-edged sword, right? I think you've got the millennials and the Gen Xers, and they live off their phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to find a way to get on that app that they're using, and you have to grab their attention in about 5 nanoseconds. And I think that's tough. I think there's a lot of noise out there. But if you're doing events, if you're bringing people to you, you're doing something with the community, you're doing some ministry work, you're working with the chamber, which has been great for us, those things are great. Advertising's tough. There's a lot of noise out there.
The word of mouth in the Woodlands is unbelievably powerful.
The word of mouth
powerful.
In the Woodlands is it. I mean, that's it. I think
that's the Holy Grail.
Holy Grail. You are right.
What do you think, Royce?
I totally agree. And, you know, I was in the advertising business, and one of the reasons people would advertise, is especially early on, was there was limited selections. Now there's multiple. And, I just think that it's the route to go is developing the clientele and the raving fans.
So if that's true, how do you cultivate that? You know, if you say, okay, I recognize that word of mouth is the most powerful thing. Mm-hmm. Is it to give them a unique experience and that will prompt them to talk about you?
You know, I think it's a very multi-pronged approach you have to take to – you have to build a good reputation. You have to be present. You have to be hands-on in a community like the Woodlands. Now, you take a monolithic, big, yellow arch competition, they advertise. I think in the Woodlands, they want a very specialized experience. They want to be treated in a certain way. And you don't want to go out there and do something that's generic. So every experience is tailored to it. And every event is tailored and has a specific purpose. So that's what I think, you know.
Now, how'd you teach yourself some of these things? Is this just trial and error and, you know, just wisdom that's come from failures and setbacks?
Yeah, I mean, I have as many failures as I have successes. Maybe a few more
Well, that's
more
pretty
successes.
Good.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good.
Yeah.
If you're 50-50, that's an incredible batting average. I know a lot of the people that we interview – we're really, you know, here talking about a lot of their successes, but mm-hmm. but oftentimes they share the heartaches that came along
because
the way.
Because you learn your greatest things from your
That's right.
abject failures, you know.
Yeah.
Personal and
failure is such a permanent word, you know.
It is.
So what about taking on equity partners, hot or not?
Careful.
Careful.
So there's a lot of money out there. And just like you need to be careful about who you get the money from, that money has to be careful about who they give the money to.
Yeah.
And so that is a relationship.
All kinds of strings that come with that and
I'm very fortunate. I have investors in all my businesses. I've had amazing investors. Amazing. And a brilliant, smart, knowledgeable people who've helped me. I've never had one that wasn't amazing, but I've had lots of stories about people who had nightmare situations.
So I want to talk about that because you learned the restaurant business, you put yourself in a position, and then you had this concept. But mm-hmm. this stuff takes big bucks, folks. I mean, if you go into one of these really nice restaurants and mm-hmm. look around, whatever you think it costs to put that thing together or mm-hmm. build it out, it's probably three or four times whatever you think it might have cost.
Because
commercial is extremely expensive. So mm-hmm. so now all of a sudden you got to put on this different hat of being you know, raise capital mm-hmm. and where'd you learn how to do that?
I think
some of our entrepreneurs need, you know, that's something that they would need to know.
Yeah. So I get, you know, if I were to go all the way back, you know, I mean, I went to Cornell University School of Hotel Administration. My core degree is in finance and I learned how to write a business plan. And then you have to have some moxie or some metal or some gumption. You've got to believe what you're going. And then you have to develop an asset list and go find those folks. And even then, you know, people don't want to talk to you if they don't know you. So if you haven't cultivated a reputation and knowledge, especially in the restaurant business, right, they want to know because the restaurant business is a tough business. And then you have to go present. And you just have to remember that every time someone says no, that's one step closer to saying yes, and many, 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 many people will say no.
Right.
What about paying out bonuses to employees, hot or not?
Hot. Excellent. But it has to be earned.
Okay.
And I've done both, you know? One of the toughest conversations you have is when you say, hey, you guys didn't earn variable comp this quarter. Mm-hmm. Why not? Well, you know why, you know? We didn't hit the numbers. We're in a numbers business.
Right. That's good. Gives everybody what I call skin in the game.
Mm-hmm. You got to have skin in the game.
Yeah. So having a mentor, hot or not?
Hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a good mentor?
I think so.
Do you mentor any other people?
Occasionally. And sometimes people say they want to be mentored and they don't really.
Yeah. I have found that very few people really ask. And I found that entrepreneurs and business owners are very, very generous with their intellectual capital and their time, and they're very willing to help out, but not very many people ask for help.
You know, I will tell you, I mean, the guys, and I'm not going to tell you who they are, they want to say, but my investors have been unbelievable mentors for me, and they don't come to me and lecture me. They'll give me one pearl, one nugget, and I will sprout a tree of activity from those things. You know, and that's what about being an entrepreneur is recognizing a need, mm-hmm. taking an idea, and taking it from blue sky and bringing it into reality. And Jeff Harder once said to me, you know, don't let anyone take your dreams away, but let's make sure that, you know, that you can achieve the dream, you know.
Yeah, I know Jeff. He's a fine guy.
He is.
Yeah, JW Law.
Yes.
And so talk to us a little bit about work ethic.
So people all the time say to me, you know, I hear it all the time, you know, that I work all the time. And I don't think I work at all, you know. Now, do I work 7 days a week? I do. Do I work more than 10 hours a day? I do. But I don't work at all. I love what I do. I think if you're going to be an entrepreneur, the only one who's going to spirit your project forward is you. And Royce, you asked me about finding good people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm lucky in that I have a team of five people around me, maybe six that share the vision and buy in and move forward. But you have to be willing. I mean, if you're looking for a Monday through Friday, Is it 8 to 5 or 9 to 5? How does that work?
8 to 5 if you get a 1 hour lunch.
If you get a 1 hour. So I haven't ever seen that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I turn 55 next week and I've never worked a job like that. I have never, ever worked a job like that. And I think if you work 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, then you're going to get 8 to 5 rewards. And I think, I had another friend of mine, Steve Tierney, he said, the first 40 hours is for the man, whoever the man is. Then the second 40 hours is for you. And that's one of the nuggets I got, you know. And so, but like I said, I'm lucky. I've been very fortunate. I haven't worked a day in my life. Now, having said that, I've paid a huge price for that also. You know, I mean, I was married. I have two kids that I have the two best children on the face of the planet. And although they did cause this bald spot and gray hair, I probably should have spent more time with them, you know, but mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time working on my business.
Yep. I'm taking away a pearl from a quote you just said. It says, the only one who's going to spirit your project forward is you. I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's a real pearl right there that I'd like to use that in the future with your permission. And
sure.
So, yeah, I think that a lot of younger people today, I mean, I speak to the younger audience right now, mm-hmm. they hear a lot of thing about work-life balance, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. my daughter, you know, told me, you know, that she wanted to take some year after college, you know, and my wife and I busted our tail to, you know, pay for her to go to college. She gets a, you know, good degree at Baylor University, and she at one time talked about, hey, I want to take this year and travel, and I said, hell no.
Right.
I said, you know what? Not on my nickel. I mean, if you want to go find yourself, you can do that later on in life with your money. But you could do, and it's your life now. You can do whatever you want to do, but I'm not paying for that. My wife's like, "Are you sure?" And I'm saying, "Hell yeah, I'm sure. I'm not paying for that." You know what? The best way to find yourself is get out there and get to work and get a mm-hmm. job and get some experience, because you don't go start a restaurant like this, you know, when you're 23 years old, right out of college and all of that. This is something that, you know, I don't care if you got all of daddy's money and everything else, you'll fall flat on your face if you haven't, you know, bootstrapped some and learned some and come up a little bit of the hard way. So, hey, you come into, I guess a question I was kind of excited about asking you. You deal with the public all the time.
Every day.
It's every day, you know, people coming and going, you're around a lot of people, you're around a lot of employees. Maybe, can you think of some, you know, maybe a funny or scary story about just a day in the life of Carrie Attar and Fieldings?
You know, I don't know if it's a scary story or not, but I will tell you, I do touch my guests a lot, and that is a source of tremendous energy for me. Because, unlike, so my dad was a cardiovascular surgeon, right? And so people always came to him when they were really in trouble. People come to me and they're happy. And if I do my job and my team does their job, they're happier. And then if my guests come to me and my team does my job and I do my job, then my investors are happy and I get to build more restaurants.
Yeah. And the nice thing about that, eating at your place is an event. It's not like fast food where they're in and out. And so they want to have a good experience. And if you've given them a good experience, as we talked about before, they'll tell others.
Right.
But that's got to be something you've got to do every day. And you're good. You're very good at working the room when you're there and you see people eating, and you'll stop by the tables and do that and make them feel that they're the most important customer in the restaurant at that time. You do a great job of that.
I appreciate it. Thank you for saying that, Rose. But I will tell you that's also my leadership team's objective. That's what I talk to one of my guys about all the time. It's like, get in there, press the flesh, know your guests, mm-hmm. look them in the eye, and tell them you love them. Tell them you covet them. Because in the Woodlands, more than so other places, unlike, say, 10 years ago when I came to the Woodlands, they have choices now.
Mm-hmm.
They have choices, and they have comparable economic and qualitative choices. So you need to bring an experience and a relationship every time to maintain that relationship.
Yeah, so there's a lot of places that you can get fed, but your business is centered around, I believe, a unique experience. Mm-hmm. So one of the things you can do as an entrepreneur is you can always be a student, and you can look at other people's businesses and say, you know, what unique experience do I see? Or maybe I'm not getting one, but what unique experience am I getting? That goes into differentiation, because if you don't have some differentiation, if you can't give someone a unique experience, we all know that 50% of the businesses don't make it to 5 years.
Right.
Okay. And that's a lot, you know, and I have a big heart for entrepreneurs that put it all on the line and they sacrifice everything with no promise of guarantee, but you better give them a unique experience. No, that makes me segue into something. I want to ask Carrie, I know how demanding this is, especially with, and you're in a growth mode.
Yep.
It's one thing you got one successful concept going, but you're developing other concepts.
Yep.
You open another restaurant, that's twice the people, twice
yep.
the, you know, all of that.
Yep,
and now you're going on another one. How do you keep yourself up for this? You talked about taking care of yourself personally, working out. I'm
right.
going to talk about how do you, you know, are there any like good books that you point to? Or
sure.
What
so,
keeps you motivated?
Yeah. So I first of all, you hit it right on the head. You know, I work out with the folks over at Biometrics, and I'm giving them a plug right there. Because
Biometric plug.
Biometrics, yeah.
I really like those guys. They mm-hmm. they changed my life. And so you got to take care of yourself, number one. And then number two, I think you have to be a fairly aware, astute guy about what's happening in your market. And you've got to be enthusiastic about what you're doing. Now, you ask if I read a lot. My reading is focused strictly on trade journals.
Mm-hmm.
And I read trade journals voraciously.
Mm.
And I probably should do some more fiction reading and stuff like that, but I don't. Every magazine in my house is Bon Appetit or Art Culinaire or Food Arts or Nation's Restaurant News. You know, I certainly in the younger part of my career, I read a lot about marketing and things like that, but now I stay dialed in because you have to stay on the pulse.
I know. I can relate.
Well, you know, you got to stay on the pulse and you got to be forward looking. And I will tell you that what I did yesterday might have been terrific and it's probably okay today and I'm going to change it tomorrow.
Yep.
And that drives some people crazy, but it keeps it fresh, exciting.
So here's something I want to just bring up, and it's just in a book that I'm in the middle of right now, talking about emotional IQ.
Mm-hmm.
Producer's telling me I got to hurry up, so we'll okay. So emotional IQ says that it's not your experience, it's not your education, and it's not your intelligence that determines your success. It's your emotional IQ, which is your awareness around others and your ability to connect and to relate and interact with other people, and that is a developed skill. So they talked about your intelligence is not a developed. You can't make yourself any smarter. You
That's
can
right.
learn more facts and figures, mm-hmm. but your intelligence is set. And what we find time and time again, it's not the most brilliant people in the whole world,
right?
Even though our entrepreneurs that come on our show are plenty smart, but it's the people that have the passion and the work ethic and the desire,
sure.
the fire in the belly. You got to gut check yourself and ask yourself, do you possess that? Because, hey, there's a lot of other paths. I know plenty of people that have come up through the corporate ranks and done quite well for themselves, and not everybody is cut out to an entrepreneur. And with that, we're going to go to a commercial break. You're listening to the Shrimp Tank Podcast, broadcasting live from the Chamber of Commerce. Don't go away. We'll be right back. According to a recent Forbes business article, 9 out of 10 business owners are overpaying their taxes. Ouch! Contact the team at Provident and explore how you can pay only what you are legally, morally, and ethically required to pay. After a short no-obligation assessment, we'll determine if we could substantially reduce your tax burden, and if so, we'll develop a tax savings plan utilizing our exclusive tax blueprint. Visit us online at ProvidentWealthLLC.com or the office, 281-466-4843. And we're back live in studio with Carrie Attar and the Fieldings Culinary Group. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin, and my co-host, Royce Brooks. Producer's telling me we need to kick up the pace here. So Royce, we got a few time for just maybe you know, a couple of more questions, and then we're going to kind of bring it together with Carrie. I know you had a couple that on your mind.
Yeah, thank you. I want to get my shameless plug in for the Chamber. Carrie, you've been a longtime member of the Chamber before
yes.
Fieldings, even before that. But
yes.
And you host one of our networking events at least once a year. Can you tell me how Chamber membership works into your marketing plan? Not your advertising, but your
sure.
marketing plan.
Right. And that's exactly correct. Well, first of all, the Chamber's all business people. And so it helps us
and helps us find out what's going on in the community. And then we bring those folks to Fieldings, either Fieldings Wood Grill or Fieldings Local, and we will definitely bring them to Fieldings Rooster. And then we turn those folks on, and we try to make them you used a word for it, I can't remember, a few moments ago about the people who go out and speak about the business.
Advocate.
Yeah, they advocate for the business. And so, it's you know, the Chamber's been an important part of our business. And we do have a marketing group, Michelle LeBlanc at Blue Sky Marketing. And, and they're big proponents of being members of the Chamber and working with it. And it's just, it's been a great part of our business.
Thanks. I'd like to record that portion and pass it on to all my non-Chamber people.
Hey.
I'm trying to get involved.
You know what? And you need to get involved. You need to be in the Chamber. It's a great network. There's a lot of collaboration that's going on. Yeah. It's a worthwhile... It doesn't cost hardly anything to be a member of the Chamber, and it really gets you engaged. So, hey, I got to ask you a question. You know, we're not afraid to be, you know, were you excited Trump got elected?
I was.
Good. Me too.
I
like you better now.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we had a tough choice, and I'm probably going to get in trouble with half my guests.
I doubt it. Not around here.
Yeah. And, you know, I got to tell you something. I mean, look, just look what's going on with the stock market. And as one of my friends and now advisors has said, you know, he's definitely making the low fruit happen. And if he brings his stuff to reality, it can only be good for Texas.
Okay. So let me try this on. So Trump, let's say Trump calls you up and he says, hey, Kerry, it's the Donald.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, Kerry, I know you're a small business owner here in the Woodlands. What can the government do to help out the small business owner? What do you tell Trump?
You know, I think that's a very complicated question, right? I mean, I think we're super heavily regulated. I think the banks are super heavily regulated. And so if you want to lend more, which, you know, cash is our lifeblood, right? And although we're a debt-free organization, you know, we're going to grow. And, if you're going to pump cash into the economy, you're going to have to be able to have the banks be able to lend. So probably I would say give the banks some breathing room and deregulate them.
And we're doing that right now. You're seeing the regulations, and that's one of the first things that he started with is just unraveling a lot of this, you know, chokehold that regulation. The fastest growing industry in the United States over the last 8 years has been the federal government. And so,
I did not know that.
Yeah. So anyway, there's a lot of unwinding.
Taxes are out of control.
A lot of unwinding going on. I wanted to ask you one final question before we wrap it up. Any quality organization that I've ever had any exposure to involved the cultivation of a culture, and it meant finding and keeping the right, you know, the good people.
Right.
You build your people build your business.
That's
so
correct.
So how do you and the Fieldings Culinary Group, how do you bring good people into the organization, and how do you cultivate a culture and a mindset that is congruent with yours?
Joe, that's that's it, right? That's every business on the planet you just talked about. So it's backwards with us. We focus on culture all the time, and we focus on those three support legs that create the experience. And then people come to us and say, hey, I want to be part of this thing. Mm. And we've been very fortunate of that. We struggled for the first 2 years to get people to come to us. You know, who is Fieldings? What is that? But then we stuck to our guns on who we are and what we are. Because anybody can have the delivery truck come and drop off the bread and the sauce and the ice cream mix, and you can reheat it and chill it. But when you say, hey, we make it from scratch, people like that.
They do.
And then they come to you and they say, hey, I want to be part of that organization. I want to work with this guy. And even though you're borderline insane, and I know that, I'm aware.
Kind of what it takes, eh?
Right? Because, like I said, you know, no one's going to fight for Fieldings if the Fieldings guy doesn't fight for Fieldings.
So it's been a great interview. Thank you so much.
You guys are
Kerry.
Awesome.
Yeah, we loved and one of the things that before we went on air is that I said, hey, if we have someone that, you know, wanted to speak to you, wanted to get some advice or some mentoring. And you said, sure, I'd be willing to talk to them. And so
Absolutely. Could
you tell our listeners, how would someone get in touch with the website for the company, or whatever phone number you would want somebody to have, or how would someone get in contact with your organization and you?
Yeah, I know you're not going to believe this, but my cell phone is actually on our website. And so you can just go there and get it, or you can email me at carrie@fieldings.com, and I will certainly listen and help as much as I can within the parameters of being a businessman and protecting my own business, obviously.
Yeah, that's very generous of you. Thank you so much. And what is your website?
Fieldings.com, www.fieldings.com.
That's FIELDINGS. Wonderful interview. Thank you so much, Carrie. Thank you, Royce.
You're very welcome.
For having us as your guest here at the Chamber of Commerce. And we'd like to thank all of our listeners. Don't forget, you'll be able to download a complete replay of the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com, and it will be on iTunes. We will see you here next week.
Welcome to the shrimp tank, doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This just what I do, and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, but homie, keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front, I'm a lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never. Going hard as ever, the results match the effort. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.